Turn with me this morning to Psalm 100, would you please, as we continue studying this whole aspect of the deity of Christ and worshiping Him. In the last few weeks, we have looked at the fact that God alone receives worship, right? Only God. Then we find Jesus being worshipped before the throne in Revelation chapter 5. Jesus was indeed Almighty God. And last week we learned that worship includes public worship, how we express ourselves on times when we come together, Saturday evenings, Sunday mornings here in this church, and also our private life, which we're going to be talking about here later on, how our lives are laid down before God as our spiritual worship. But also last week we learned and looked at many scriptures that God has a prescribed way to worship Him. He wants us to express our worship, and He's put His Holy Spirit into our lives, right? And the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ through us. He uses our voices and our hands and our bodies and our feet to do His work. Isn't that awesome? I never have lost the awe that God has chosen to use us. You know, Jesus told His disciples, "You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to do a certain work that I want you to do, and that you would bear much fruit and glorify my Father." So what an honor it is to be His. And that's what we're going to look at here in Psalm 100, because in Psalm 100 this morning, there is a progression of worship as we approach God's throne that's prescribed in Scripture. Look what it says here. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth!" Exclamation point. "Serve the Lord with gladness." Does God want us to serve Him with gladness? Not drudgery, not complaining, not ho-humness. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing." That's why at our worship services throughout the world, we enter the presence of the Lord with singing. Why? Because God's Word tells us to do that. How many of you believe that this is the Word of God? How many believe that we should do the Word of God, not just hear it? Okay, and so even in this area of worship, that's what God's telling us to do. Why do we do this? Look at verse 3. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations." So let's look at this verse this morning, how it gives us directives in worshiping the Lord. Now, first of all, the focus of this chapter is in verse 3. What is the motivation of our praise? Why is God worthy to be worshipped? Well, number one, it says, verse 3, "Know that the Lord, He is God." That's a real revelation today for many people, that He is God and we are not God, right? How many are glad you're not God? People around you are glad you're not God, because God's a whole lot more merciful than we are, and He's a whole lot more just than we are, and He's more loving than we are, right? But know that the Lord, He is God. That becomes a focal point, and that's why when we come together, we're reminded of that, because through the week, we tend to forget that God is in charge, that God is in control, that God works all things out for good. We forget that. So Sunday mornings, we come together, and we're reminded of who He is. That doesn't mean we don't worship God during the week, and we're not reminded all week long, but God intends for that to happen in a great dynamic when we come together. Hold your finger here. Go back to Psalm 47, would you please? Psalm 47. I'm sorry, Psalm 46, same page. But in Psalm 46, this particular psalm focuses on the fact that the Lord, He is God. And just look at two particular passages here. Verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and our strength." He's our hiding place. He's the place we run to. And we learn to do that. And it's very difficult for us because we are very prideful people. We are very arrogant. We're very self-sufficient. And when trouble comes our way, we think we can handle it. And as we grow in the Lord, we realize we can't handle much. And we run to the Lord. He's our refuge and He's our strength and a very present help in time of trouble. When we have trouble, when crisis comes our way, when things aren't working out, when we have a loss in our family, or we grieve, or we have an injury, or an unexpected disease, or we lose our job, or we can't pay our bills, or we've a thousand other things, we have a marital crisis, a family crisis, we need to know that God is a very present help in time of trouble. He's especially there when that happens. Praise God for that, right? Know that the Lord, He is God, Psalm 100 says. And then in verse 10 of Psalm 46, it says, be still. Is it possible to be still today? I mean, Doug, we're in the 21st century. There's no such thing as being still. I don't have time to be still. You know what God's Word says? Be still. In fact, in the New American Standard, it says, cease striving. But be still and what? Know that I am God. This morning in that last song where we worship the Lord, there's a stillness. There's a time when we just allow the musicians to play and we can just close our eyes and just meditate on God. There's a stillness there. God has given us that as an inheritance. Isn't that great as His kids? The world may be frazzled. The world may be stressed out, but there's peace in Jesus Christ. And God gives us peace in the midst of the storm. Isn't that good news? In the world, they try to get rid of the storm in order to have peace. We have peace in the midst of the storm. We can be still because we know that God Almighty is in charge. And it goes on to say, be still and know that I am God. Verse 10, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah, which means stop and meditate and think about this. And we need to take time to do that. If the whole world, wars and rumors of wars and trouble and economic crisis and all kinds of things are happening, we know that one day God will be exalted in all the earth. In Grand County, in Bangladesh, in Bhutan, the uttermost parts of the world, God will be exalted. So that's our mainstay. Then let's go back to Psalm 100. So it starts off with saying, know that the Lord, He is God, and secondly, know that we are His. We are His people. He created us, and now He's redeemed us to become His family, so we're the sheep of His pasture. What a great place to thrive in the pasture of the Lord. We are not the same as people outside of Christianity. Outside of Christianity, they have to make it on their own. Life is what they're going to make it. In Christianity, life is what God makes it for us. And we have this marvelous path of discovering all we have in God. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why we come together on Sundays. That's why we go to Bible studies. That's why we go to life groups. Because we're discovering what we already have in God. Does that make sense? Christ has given us everything we need for life and godliness and redemption and reconciliation with God. We just have to learn what we already have. It's like sitting on an inheritance that we don't know the riches and the depth of. So we're worrying and we're frantic all the time, not knowing that everything's already paid for. We have enough resources to handle anything that comes our way. But we could be frazzled when we forget that. So know that we are His. Last week, we talked about 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 through 20. That verse says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? God gave us our bodies. You are not your own. Let's say that together. You are not your own. We cannot do, again I'll emphasize, we cannot do with these bodies anything we want as Christians. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. So it goes on to say, therefore, understanding this, because you were bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ, glorify God with your body. And that's corporately. Allow the Holy Spirit to glorify the Lord using our members, our hands, our voices. And when we leave this place, our main purpose in life is to yield to the Holy Spirit, not take control of things, and let God be glorified in our lives. That's what we live for. Because we're no longer our own, we're His. And the third thing that we need to know is we need to know that God delights in praises. Look at Psalm 100 verse 4. It says, give thanks to Him and bless His name. God can be blessed. Think about this. When someone blesses you, what kind of feelings do you have when you're blessed? Feel good, right? joyful. Someone blesses you financially, blesses you serving you in a certain way, blesses you coming up, takes an interest in you, prays for you, gives you a hug in Jesus. It is a blessing to be in the family of God, and it strengthens us, renews us, right? You know, God can be blessed, and He's blessed when we give Him thanks. He's blessed when we praise Him. Praise God for that. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, just like we as parents can be grieved. And the Holy Spirit can be released. We can be honoring. Now look at in this passage too. It says here, it gives you two words. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Now those words in the English language are interchangeable. We use them for many different things. But essentially the meaning is, if you look it up in the dictionary, Webster's particularly, it says thanksgiving is an expression of gratefulness or gratitude of some kindness that was received. So when something is done for us, we're thankful for that, right? And we are to express that thanks. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one came back and said, thank you for the healing. He says, where are the other 9? Because people tend to forget. We pray, we ask God to work supernaturally, then we tend to forget to give Him thanks. I really appreciated you, Sage, when that lady got up and supernaturally was healed, and you came over and said, we need to thank God for this. Because the tendency would be, oh, that was great, let's get on to something else. And we forget to say, Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer and answering that. Human nature tends to forget. But God is blessed by thanksgiving. And the second thing there, it says praise. Now, praise in the dictionary means to commend, to applaud. To applaud, that's why we applaud, to express approval of personal worth. So you could say that we thank God for what He does for us and we praise Him for who He is. Praise puts value on that person. That's what we do. Now again, those words can be used interchangeably, but we thank God for what He does. We praise Him for who He is. Now in Psalm 26 and Psalm 68, both those verses say something very important. Psalm 26 says, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling of your wondrous deeds. And then the next psalm says, Psalm 66, bless the Lord our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise, what? Be heard. Even when you have a cold, you can still let His praises be heard, right? God wants the volume of our voices to be heard all through the Scriptures. And I don't want us to forget that. When we come together on Sunday mornings, we need to give Him praise that He's worthy of, right? And not half-hearted praise and not nasal praise, you know. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. We want to praise Him with our voice. He's given us a voice, right? How many of you can raise your voice? Hey, you know, there are certain situations that we could see each other in and we would see a side of one another we've never seen before. Okay? We can lift our voices up and we can give volume to the Lord. And we see that continually in the Scriptures. Let the praises of God's people be heard. All right? So now let's look at something else here, because this gives us a real picture, and I want us to have a picture of what's taking place. Why we sing certain songs in a worship service. Some of you know this, but for some of you, this will be first time really understanding praise and worship. Because many of us, as we found out last week, came out of different backgrounds as far as singing different songs, right? And for many, like a church I grew up in the early years, we sang 3 hymns and that was it. Sang 3 hymns, sang all the verses to the hymns, and that was it. Then the church progressed to singing 3 hymns and a chorus. Then it progressed to 3 hymns and 2 choruses, and 3 hymns and 3 choruses, and then the services went from 1 hour to 1 hour and 15 minutes, 1.5 hours, 2 hours, as worship began to be extended in this church that I went to. And I believe we need to blend the hymns with the new choruses too, because that's very important for us. Jesus says the wise man takes out of the treasure both things old and things new. We can't lose the heritage of what we have in the Lord, but God has given us tremendous songs all the time to express our praise to Him. So here, the progression of praise set forth in Psalm 100 comes from the model of the temple. Now, in the temple, this is Solomon's temple. And you'll notice around the temple, there are doorways going into that temple, right? And here in this temple, you have these doorways. This is the gates around the temple. And these were gates going into this courtyard right here. You'll find when Peter and John were going up to the temple to worship and to pray, they went through the beautiful gate. There was a lame man sitting there by the beautiful gate. And they said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." And then just like you did over there with your team, Sage, Peter picked up the hand of that lame person and he stood up on his feet. That was at the gate, beautiful, one of those gates, okay? And then you go into the courtyard, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and these were different courts where people would gather to pray, Solomon's court and different courts. Then you would go into the next area there called the holy place where the priests would go in, and on one side was the menorah candle with the seven candles that they kept lit all the time. On the other side was the table of the showbread, the bread of presence, which they always kept there. And then there was an altar of incense where the priest would offer prayers, this altar of incense. Then one time a year, they would enter into that area, which was the Holy of Holies. And no one could go behind these huge curtains because that is where the presence of God was back then. And there was a progression. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and then you move forward to the Holy of Holies. That's progressive. That's why in the morning, when we begin singing, some of the first songs are songs we can express our praise and thanksgiving to God because we're moving toward this place of intimacy. But we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Now, I'd like the worship team to come back up here. Could you guys please, this morning? Thank you. I appreciate you guys so much. Isn't it great to have a worship team? Praise God for that. Man. And every one of them love the Lord. And they're not here to perform. In fact, they despise performance. You know, they're here to lead us in worship, the singers and the instruments. Turn with me to one more psalm, Psalm 147, okay? As the worship team is coming up here, because we're going to sing a couple of songs to enter his gates with thanksgiving today. And Psalm 147 is a powerful psalm. And it's a powerful psalm because it is so directed to God and who God is and what God does. Look at this. Psalm 147 begins with two phrases. It begins and ends with two phrases. Praise the Lord. You see that? The first, praise the Lord. And at the end of the psalm, go all the way down to verse 20. What's the ending phrase? Praise the Lord. So here you have the bookends of this psalm. And everything within those bookends are talking about who God is. Now, as a little exercise this morning, get your pens, if you would, and if you have your Bibles, circle all the he's, H-E, all the he's in this passage of Scripture. Because this passage of Scripture focuses on what God does. He does this, he does that. It's a tremendous psalm to meditate on. It starts by saying, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord, now look at all that God does. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. Any of us have outcast children out there? Any of us have children we're praying for out there? You know who gathers the outcasts? God does. And we can pray for them. Is that great to know? Mm-hmm. That's great to know.
Amen.
He heals the brokenhearted. When we're crushed, when we're offended, when we're hurting, he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He determines this number of stars, and he gives to all of them their names. That's a great thing to meditate on. Our problems seem pretty small when we start understanding that God names all the stars, and not one of them are born without his directives. Great is our God and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. So sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and make melody to our God on the lyre. Mark, that's on the lyre there. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares the rain for the earth. He makes the grass to grow on the hills. Isn't God great? He gives to the beasts their food. No one's out there feeding the mountain lions. No one's out there feeding the deer. Is there? Maybe some salt lick, but there's nobody out there feeding them. Who gives to them their substance? God does. He gives to the beasts their food, to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. It doesn't matter how much we exercise. That does not impress God. Okay? Now, it's good to keep our bodies in shape best we can, but God does not delight in that. What does He delight in? Look at verse 11. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who what? Fear Him and reverence Him and honor Him. God is a God that can be pleased. He takes pleasure in that. And who hope in His steadfast love. Then it goes on. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For He strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out His commands in all the earth. He gives snow like wool. Look at the snow out there. He gives snow. He scatters the hoarfrost. He hurls down the crystals of ice like crumbs. Isn't that great? We get to enjoy that up here. I'm going to Birmingham, Alabama this coming week. They don't see that too much down there. We get to see this verse all the time. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He makes His wind blow and the waters flow. Who makes the waters flow up here? God does. He declares His word to Jacob and His statutes to Israel, and He has not dealt thus with any other nation, for they do not know His rules. Praise the Lord. God hasn't dealt the way He deals with us with anybody else but His kids. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So we can enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Let's all stand here, and that's what we're going to do. And I want us to have a picture of coming into the presence of the Lord. This verse was for when we worship God, not just going through the day, but when we come together to worship God, there's a progression. We start with thanksgiving. Let's do that right now. You know what? Dutch over here was reminding me of something. When that man was healed at the beautiful gate, do you know how he went into the court? Dancing. Yes. Jumping and leaping and praising God because God had healed him. Sometimes we need to be reminded what God accomplished for us. We are what we are because He's healed our lives. That should cause us to be exuberant, right? Amen. Praise God for that. You know, and Mark kind of threw us off because, you know, a lot of people can't clap on the backbeat. Backbeat. There's a front beat and a backbeat.
Yeah.
We start on the front beat, then you move to the backbeat. Okay, but that's okay. God can still have be honored with that. Let's sit down for just a minute, okay? God is great, isn't He?
Yes, amen.
And we need to be exuberant. He's worthy of our exuberance, right? Amen. Now, I know some people say, look, I've never done it that way before, Pastor Doug. I've been in churches, we're just not used to that. I understand that, and I went through a long thing last week as far as how we need to progress to worship the way God prescribes us to worship Him, right? We all come from different religious traditions, but what I challenge each one of us to do is look at the Word. What does God call us to do? You know what? You cannot look at the Psalms and not come to the conclusion that He enjoys exuberant praise from His people. I mean loud clashing cymbals and praising Him with loud voices, unashamedly before God. And like we said last week, if we can worship Him unashamedly in the presence of the Lord here, we will worship Him more unashamedly out there. If we're ashamed of worshiping the Lord or afraid of what people are going to think about us in here, we're going to worship Him the same way out there in the world. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. And we need to have our minds transformed by the Word of God, right?
Yes, amen.
So, praise God for that. And is praise dependent on our feelings? No, it is not. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. It's like you're talking to yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm not going to just let my moodiness affect my praise to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 104:33 says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. I'm going to do that because you're God. Mm-hmm. Even when I don't feel like it. I got a neat note by a guy in our church last week. And he said, I have never in my life raised my hands in worship until last Sunday. You know what he said in his note? I lived through it. And you know what else he says? It could happen again.
Yes, amen.
I love that. I love that. You know? I will sing. I will bless your name. And by the way, we bring a sacrifice of praise. That comes right out of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 says, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, which is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge Him. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Praise comes from the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit seeks to honor God, to worship God, to glorify Jesus. And we let Him do that with our voices and our hands, our expression. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, number one, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And that word filled is Greek continuous tense. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I said last week, and again, if you feel like you're dull and a little lulled in your worship, pray that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. God fills us with His Spirit, releases us. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now those are psalms are out of the Scriptures. Hymns are the songs that God gives people. Hymns are not our hymn book, by the way, because our hymn book wasn't written back then. Everybody understand that? Hymns are the songs that God gave to people. Now, some of those hymns are in hymn books. Some of them are in new chorus books. God continually gives songs to people. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. You know, there are songs in the Spirit. New songs. You know, sometimes when Mark, you lead us in a chorus and pretty soon you and Karen just take off saying different things and worshiping God. We can do that and we should do that. Just expressing ourselves before God as they're worshiping the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit exalt God through our life. Mm-hmm. Making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything. Always and for everything? Does God want us to do that?
Mm-hmm. That's what He says.
For everything? That's what it says.
That's what it says.
To God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Now, we have a tremendous privilege in our day that they did not have back in the Old Testament. And that is that we can move into the Holy of Holies right now. On that place, this place that you see here was called the Holy Place. There's the menorah that the priests would always keep lit before God. And then as you moved around the menorah, there was the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies. But you know what? That curtain was torn in two when Jesus Christ died on the cross. The earth shook, and now the presence of God was open to all who would come through Jesus Christ into that presence. And I want us to picture this, because in the tabernacle in the wilderness, which Solomon's temple was taken off of, where the priests would come in past the gates there. And they would come in and there would be an altar there. And the altar was the altar of the burnt offerings. And they would offer burnt offerings. Then around that altar, they would walk and there would be a basin of water. And that's where the priests would wash their hands. And then past the basin was the holy place. And the priests would go, and certain priests would go into the holy place and keep the candles lit and keep the bread on the table. And then pray at the altar of incense. The incense would constantly be going up before God, and that was the duty of the priests. So there was a progression going in there, and then one time a year, the high priest would step behind these curtains into the Holy of Holies, and it was there that the Ark of the Covenant was. And God spoke through the Ark of the Covenant there. The Ark of the Covenant was only about 2x3. It had the Ten Commandments in there, and it had some manna, and it had Aaron's rod that had budded. At first, it had all that. Lost some of that later on. But the mercy seat was the cover over that, the Ten Commandments. And they would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, because the blood was a foreshadowing of Christ, would cover the law and all of its demands that we could never make. And then the angels, their wings were tipped over that ark. And it was through that hole that the voice of God spoke to Moses and gave him all the commands. And now we can come into that place and we can worship God. So they are going to, the worship team is going to lead us in a song. It's "Take Me Past the Altar. Take Me Past the Basin. Take Me Into the Holy of Holies." And I want us to picture that progression, because that's what we do. Once we enter His gates with praise, now we're moving toward the presence of God. And by the way, worship. We enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, and then we worship God. Now, worship in the Greek is proskuneo. And that comes from two words meaning to kiss toward. Worship is a very intimate thing that we do. Those songs of worship are more intimate. They're telling God how much we love Him and how much we worship Him. It's an intimacy in the Lord. So that's what we want to do now. So let's all stand together and just focus on God. Picture yourself as priests going into the Holy of Holies now and giving God glory and honor. All right? Let's do that. In John chapter 4, just in closing here today, Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." The Father is seeking such people to worship Him. How many of you want to be a part of that number?
Amen.
God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Father in heaven, this morning now as we leave, Lord, thank You for the honor and the blessing that we have to come before Your holy presence. And Father, may we never diminish that in any way or treat that with contempt. Oh God, please forgive us if we ever have. Or to treat times of coming together as something that is optional. Lord, it is a privilege. And You've called us to do this once a week. To come together as Your people. That we might together bring You the praise, the thanksgiving, and the worship that You are worthy of. And we'll be doing this for all eternity, oh God. So we thank You for this today. Father in heaven, thank You for the moving of Your Spirit in our midst. Lord, You know the needs of every person in this room. And we thank You that You are absolutely omnipotent and sovereign. And we need to know and be reminded of the fact that You are God. There's nothing out of Your control. There's nothing too difficult for You. And Lord, as Your people, we put our confidence and our trust in You. And we will declare Your praise as we leave this building this morning. We will worship You and we will honor You, O God, with our lives because, O God, we are Yours. We thank You for this now. And we give You praise for this time together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.